And now we come to the deadly sin of sloth. Sloth. Sloth is perhaps the most misunderstood of the seven deadly sins. And I have to confess, I'm one of those who misunderstood it. It's not mere laziness, but something far deeper and more dangerous. The fathers, church fathers called it acidia, a spiritual resistance to the joy, love, and work of God. Some of the words in the Bible, unlike wrath or lust, Scripture often describes sloth indirectly through words meaning spiritual dullness, weariness, or neglect. So the first word is acadia. It means spiritual indifference, a lack of care. This is the most important term. It literally means without care, absence of concern. It's the root of the English word acidia, which means laziness. It describes a soul that no longer cares about God or spiritual good. Let me say that again. It describes a soul which no longer cares about God or spiritual good. Hebrews 5:11 says, "You've become dull of hearing." The soul loses its responsiveness to God. Then there's the word okneros. It means lazy, hesitant, reluctant. Matthew 25:26, "You wicked and slothful servant." This is the failure to act on what God has given us. In the Old Testament, we have the word atzel, with sluggard. Common in Proverbs, Proverbs 6:9, "How long will you lie there, O sluggard?" And there's lots of Proverbs about the sluggard. This refers to habitual spiritual and moral negligence. Some of the key stories in the Bible, we mainly find them in the New Testament, illustrated well. The slothful servant, Matthew 25:14-30. Remember, all the talents were given out, and then some worked their talents, but what? The servant that was the slothful one, he just buries his talent in the ground. He doesn't rebel. He just simply does nothing. This is sloth. Failure to respond to grace. Failure to do anything with what God has given us. And then there's the story of the foolish virgins, Matthew 25:1-13. They just simply failed to prepare. They're not immoral. They're just unprepared. Sloth is neglect of readiness. It's just doing nothing. Then there's the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3:15-16. Jesus says, "You are neither cold nor hot, and because you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth." And this is the classic image of sloth. Not hatred of God, indifference to God. We see an example with the disciples in Gethsemane. Matthew 26:40, Jesus is praying and he's asking them to stay and pray, and he comes back in their sleep. "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" They sleep instead of praying. Sloth weakens spiritual vigilance. It makes us weak. Ponticus gave the most famous description of acidia. He called it the noonday demon. It attacks when prayer feels dry, when God feels distant, when spiritual life feels meaningless. He wrote, "The demon of acidia, or sloth, makes the monk weary of his place, his life, and his work." Symptoms include restlessness, a boredom in prayer, a desire to escape the spiritual life. John Cassian describes sloth as weariness of the soul and actually a disgust with spiritual things. He wrote, "The soul is crushed by weariness and horror in its place and calling. The person loses motivation for spiritual good." Thomas Aquinas gives the most precise theological definition. He says, "Sloth is sorrow at spiritual good." This is crucial. Sloth is not sorrow in general. It's sorrow at God. The soul resists divine love because it feels demanding. Aquinas explains, "Sloth occurs when the soul experiences God as a burden rather than a joy." Sloth says, "I do not want the effort of loving God." It manifests itself as avoidance of prayer, spiritual procrastination, loss of zeal, inner disengagement. Let me read those again. Avoidance of prayer, spiritual procrastination, loss of zeal, inner disengagement. And it often appears as endless distraction. There's always something. Restlessness, spiritual boredom. Modern forms include constant entertainment, avoidance of silence. By the way, when we were having these moments of silence, I don't know how many of you felt awkward about that. We just don't have that anymore. Spiritual indifference. And laziness is about work. Sloth is about love of God. And I don't know, maybe it's just the way I was raised. I didn't do my chores. I was, accused of being slothful and lazy. It was all about work. I didn't understand that it was about God. Being, you could use this term, lazy about my relationship with God, but becoming just indifferent. We see so many people that have dropped out of church, especially here in the South. It just becomes boring to them. They miss out. Slothful. A person can be very busy and still suffer from sloth. Busyness can actually hide spiritual avoidance. Sloth is refusal of the highest good, which is God. The root of sloth is resistance to God's divine love. So you see, love requires surrender. Sloth resists surrender. It prefers comfort rather than transformation. And this is why sloth is so dangerous. It slowly separates the soul from God. Now, Jesus taught in Matthew 11:12, he said, "The kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force." Many of the fathers interpreted this that the spiritual life requires effort. You have to work at it. Luke 9:62, Jesus said, "No one puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Again, the church fathers defined this as the spiritual life requires perseverance. You got to stay at it. To attack sloth, we need diligence, meaning earnestness, zeal, readiness. Romans 12:11 said, "Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, and serve the Lord." I think Jesus embodied this idea of diligence. He stayed with it to the end. He said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." Jesus' delight is in the Father's will. Where sloth resists God, Jesus embraced what God's will was. Some signs of sloth, spiritual warning signs include loss of a desire for prayer, indifference to spiritual growth, avoidance of repentance, a preference for distraction. I mean, a loss of a desire for prayer, I mean, that can happen to all of us very easily. Indifference to spiritual growth. Well, I'm fine. How? I don't need to keep studying my Bible. I've read the Bible. I learned that. I went to class. I did a discipleship class. I don't need to keep working at it. Avoidance of repentance. When God shows us something, we just refuse to follow him there. And preference for distraction. Is it any wonder why amusement and entertainment has become so prevalent in our culture? It's interesting, the Greek word for amuse, the word muse means to think, reflect, and meditate. Amuse in the Greek, the is the opposite. It's opposite of thinking, reflecting, a preference for distraction. This isn't necessarily dramatic rebellion. It's just often quiet disengagement. So the cure for sloth, the church fathers prescribed regular prayer. And that's one thing our Anglican tradition encourages. We have regular prayer, morning prayer, noonday prayer, evening prayer. Stability, remaining faithful where you are. Obedience, when God shows you something, you obey him. And perseverance through dryness. There are seasons that are dry, but you persevere, you keep going. And God's always faithful, as we sang a few minutes ago. Faithfulness restores our love. Our love restores our joy. So in summary, sloth is spiritual indifference. It's sadness toward God. It's a resistance to God's divine love, and it's a neglect of the spiritual life. It's deadly because it slowly extinguishes our love. Our love for God grows cold. Sloth does not say, I hate God. It says, I don't care. This is why Jesus warns in Revelation, because you are lukewarm, love must remain alive, engaging, active. And sloth is the opposite of that. And that's why it's a deadly sin. So let's take a moment and ask the Lord where sloth may have invaded our lives as we seek to follow him. So the seven deadly sins, pride, exalting ourselves above God. And the solution, the way to counteract it, is humility. Then we talked about greed, possessing beyond need, craving what others have. And the way we change that is generosity. Then we talked about lust, using persons for pleasure. And the opposite of that is chastity, honoring people in love, in Christ's love. We talked about envy, resenting others' good. And the opposite of that is rejoicing in what they have. Thanksgiving. Then there's gluttony, overindulgence in pleasure. And the opposite of that is enjoyment of what God has given us and being disciplined in it. Then there's wrath, seeking revenge. And the opposite of that is meekness, trusting God's justice and forgiving folks. And then sloth, indifference to divine love. And the way you counteract that is diligence, remaining faithful, participating in that relationship with God on and on and on. So what I'd like to invite us to do is, in your bulletin, we have confession. And I'm going to lead us through the confession. And I'm going to invite you to kneel, and then we're going to have a moment of silence. And if the Lord has convicted you of anything in your life that you need to repent of or change or you need help with, that during that time of silence, you offer that to him. Then we'll say the general confession and have an absolution, and then I'm going to ask that we sing another hymn. If you would select a good praise hymn for us, that would be great.